Welcome back. We're on the Andy and the Car Doctor. You know, our next guest started out as a caller, and I've really enjoyed developing this relationship with Steve Cook over the past year because he's got so much to say and he's so spot on about what this industry was, is, and becoming. And I suppose as his position of being an automotive instructor in the Northeast, Northwest, and all different places over the years, that helps. But he works with young people and he sees what's up and coming. And sometimes when I talk to him, he tells me he's afraid, and sometimes he tells me he's proud. I'm not sure which way he's going to be today, but always a good conversation. Mr. Cook, welcome back aboard, sir. How are you?
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
All right. I couldn't be better.
Good.
Interesting email that you sent me here talking about two things that started out. Recruiters are going to Votech schools to try and convince students and parents to enroll in their school. And you want to talk a little bit about that, about your observations about where you see the trades going and where they've come from.
Right. Well, one of the things I was trying to tell you in the email is this time of year, being an automotive instructor, I would see a lot of recruiters coming in from different technical colleges and that. And, of course, they're trying to get the kids to go to their colleges and continue their education, which is fine. But I've learned a lot of things over the years from observing and stuff like that. And I got some tips that might help your listeners, particularly if they got, kids that are getting ready to go off to college in the next couple of years or what have you.
Sure, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. You can hear me all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm getting all kinds of garble on this end. Okay. First off, if you got someone going to school in the next couple of years, it's very, very important that they get the absolute best grades they can. A's and B's across the board. And there's really a good reason for this, and this is one of the main things I want to talk to you about, is there is grant money out there for people to go to school and scholarships and in trade schools too. But there's qualifications that have to be met for those. And a lot of those are grade-related, attendance-related, those kind of things. And a lot of people don't know this, Ron, but outside of Pell Grants that the government supplies, there are plenty of private sector grants and scholarships available out there. And a lot of these kids can darn near go to college for free if they just put forth the effort to apply for them.
Steve, do you think that the demand for young people to go to trade schools is increasing? Is there more of a reason they would want to go at this point versus going to a traditional four-year college?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I look at it this way. You go to a four-year college, you get out. Maybe you go in for accounting or something. You come out and you can't find a job being an accountant. I can go to a technical college, go for 2 years, come out with an associate's degree in automotive technology and go to work, in the automotive industry, repairing automobiles or something along that line. Or I can take a 2-year course in welding, which is what one of my cousin's husband did. And he's out there now. He's been out as a welder for 2 years and he's pulling down like $80,000 a year. And he went to a local college, a community college, so it cost him about 20 grand.
Not a bad return on investment, right? Versus the kid that goes to a 4-year school, spends 200 grand on an education, and they're 35 before they've paid that debt off in some cases.
Yeah, if they ever pay it off.
Right.
But, I mean, The grant money's out there, and what I want people to understand is you just got to go look for it. If you ask a lot of these colleges or trade schools that you go to what grants are available, they're going to just point you to a Pell Grant, and then they're going to bury you in debt with student loans. So if you're going to college, you need to start digging for this stuff now. I'm looking at, in front of me right now, I have a federal mogul grant, a $2,500 scholarship for the 16-17 school year. Okay, they're going to award 12 of these. The application process isn't that bad, and you'd be surprised. They might not even fill all these 12 spots up that they got.
Do you see, Yeah, how long have you been teaching, Steve? Let me ask the question this way.
Mm-hmm.
How many years have you been teaching?
Five.
Okay. How many years?
Actually, six. Sorry.
How many years are you in the industry?
About 25.
So, do you see the demand for technicians now stronger than when you started in the industry, or do you see it weakening the demand?
Let me put it this way. I see the demand for good high quality technicians. I see the demand for them growing. You know, so I see demand for them. Yeah, but it's like you're saying earlier too. A lot of stuff we're getting to where, you know, the cars nowadays are so much better built, and you know, we're not seeing quite as much demand as we had at one time, but there's still we still need a lot of technicians out there. So but we're looking for quality people is what we're looking for.
And we almost need that kid that can graduate a 4-year college with a degree, in some cases mechanical engineering and other electronic engineering, because the vehicle is getting to be so complex that it's just a constant evolvement. And then I always wonder, you know, at what level will the motoring public accept it, and how will they accept it? You know, it's auto repair. I've looked at it, and I think there's probably 7 or 8 different regions of auto repair around the country when I start to divide things up in my head, you know, northeast, southeast, and so on. And different problems face mechanics and technicians and consumers in those regions. And at some level, you know, I went to class Wednesday night. I don't know if you heard the open of the show. I went to class Wednesday night, and they were talking about computer reflashing. And we were discussing the costs involved with computer reflashing, both for the consumer and the technician. And an average computer reflash in North Jersey dollars is $150, parts and labor. And they talk about it in class like, yeah, that's not a problem. Everybody will want to do that. And, you know, the very next day, my first customer at the counter, I reminded him about the third brake light that hasn't been working in his car for the past 2 years, and it's not a bulb, it's an LED board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Toyota, and it's some $300 worth of third brake light. I don't want to fix that. Even against the possibility of a ticket. And my point is, the technology is great, and all the things you and I talk about are true, but at what point does the consumer accept it, and will they accept it? And, you know, force its hand. In Bergen County, if the gas tank's empty and the ashtray's full, they want to get rid of the car. In Southern Florida, in Southern California, in Texas, in Oklahoma, and other places around the country, it's all different responses from what I see and hear. I have people that call from Virginia. They've got 9 cars, and they're 35, 40 years old, and they're still driving them. They don't care. They don't want to buy a new car. They're going to keep it going. They've got a real fix-it mentality, which is great. It's a can-do attitude. And I just wonder, you know, where is this going to take us?
Well, my opinion is this. It's we've been teeter-tottering back and forth between the price of a new car and the price of repairing them. You know, one tends to go a little higher than the other, and back and forth and back and forth. So the thing that I look at and I've seen a lot of is people will live without a third brake light, but when it comes time for them to start walking, they'll get their ride fixed.
Know what I mean? That'll change real quick. Hey, Steve, I'll tell you what, sit tight. Stay on the side for a couple of minutes. Let me pull over and take this pause for the cause, as we say. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor, Steve Cook, Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Anini, the Car Doctor here. We're talking to Steve Cook, an automotive instructor and fast becoming one of the Car Doctor's personal favorites from Cincinnati, Ohio. And we're just having a general conversation. Mr. Cook, you're still there.
Yes, sir.
You know, when we took the pause, Steve, we were kind of talking about grants and scholarships and the value in an automotive education. Let's shift gears, if we can, in the time we've got left. The EPA is trying to, and they're going to be successful. It's not that they're trying to. They're removing cleaning agents from gasoline. And there's conversation that, you know, model year 2017, model year 2018 or calendar year, I'm sorry, 2017, 2018, you're going to see this become reality. Will there be no more cleaning agents in gasoline? You know, your experience as a technician and as an instructor, how important are these detergent additives right now?
Well, think about how they got in it to begin with. We had fuel-injected vehicles came out, and the car manufacturers were asking the petroleum industry to clean up the gasolines to remove the, you know, reduce the carbon buildup, things of that nature, help keep the injectors flowing cleanly like they should and everything. And that's why stuff was put in there to begin with. It helps the car run cleaner over the long run. You can take a brand new car, not have those additives in it, and run it, and yeah, it's going to produce a little less emissions out the tailpipe. I grant them that. But what happens when that car, and you got these direct injected cars that you and I both know,
they're a problem.
Have a problem with carbon buildup.
Oh,
that,
boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens when that car gets 15, 20,000 miles on it without those detergent additives? The cars are going to be missing. They're going to be doing what have you. They're going to be polluting a whole heck of a lot more than if they left the detergents in it. And this is why I was telling you, you know, these guys at the EPA that decide to do this stuff, they're educated idiots. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's just dumb. And it's going to wind up costing car owners a whole lot more money to fix this problem than if they would have just left it alone. And it's not going to make the air any cleaner at the end of the day.
Well, and I think, too, that if they were taking the detergents out of the gasoline and then said, okay, and to really solve the problem, we're not going to let companies exist that make fuel detergent cleaners and detergent additives and so forth. We're going to get rid of them, too.
Now that's next.
Well, maybe. And maybe I shouldn't say it because, you know, we're on in the Washington market, and I'm sure we've got some government listeners. But, you just wonder what they're thinking.
I don't know. I just don't think they're thinking. But how many people in the American public are gonna put up with every 30, 40,000 miles having to have the cylinder heads yanked on a car to get the carbon off the valves because the engine's missing?
Yeah, we're going backwards. I mean, we did that back in the 60s and the 70s. Here we go again.
Oh, yeah. That's the way things were. I mean, this whole thing is just, people need to call their congressmen, and they need to start raising some holy you-know-what, because this is going to hit their pocketbooks something awful.
Yep.
Now, I have an opinion as to why they're doing this, and I'm not going to say it on the air because they might pull your license for it. But I have my opinions to why they're doing this. But the bottom line is, people, you better call your congressman and you better scream on the top of your lungs that they need to stop this and stop it now. Because it's going to cost you a fortune if you don't.
Steve Cook, always a great interview, always a great conversation. Listen, stay on the line. Let Harry get some information from you. You qualify as a caller today, so we're going to be sending you out a Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor T-shirt. You'll do us proud if we could see you wear it. All right, sir?
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Steve. Hang in there, and we'll be talking again real soon. I'm Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. I'm back right after this.